This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
Paul writes this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking it in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as he wills."
Well, amen, and I join my voice with the others who've said happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers who are in here. I know some mothers are out visiting their mothers, and other daughters are out visiting their mothers. That's okay. We're glad that those of you who are here this morning chose to be here. Also thankful for today. This is the Mother's Day, is the 32nd birthday of Antioch Community Church. We're about 5 months older than Caleb. Caleb was born August 3rd, 1987. Antioch was born on Mother's Day, 1987. And so we're thankful. Happy birthday, Antioch. Thank God for what he's done and is doing in this place. Well, you know, Paul starts this letter, or this part of the letter, chapter 12. If you have been tracking along with us in 1 Corinthians, you know that you've seen this phrase before, something very similar to it. He says, now concerning, now you've seen that phrase, now concerning this, now concerning that, but now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. Have you ever seen that in Paul's letters anywhere? Yes, if you're a student of the Word and you've read Paul's letters at least more than once, you probably have noticed, wow, he likes to say that. I don't want you to be uninformed about this. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I don't want you to be unaware of this. Lots of places, let me just direct your attention to one. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And of course, he wasn't talking about sleep. He was talking about death. And in Thessalonica, they were concerned about believers who had died before Christ came back. They didn't know that was possible. They thought Christ was going to come back in that generation, as has every generation since then. But there the issue was the death of loved ones in the Lord. Here the issue is spiritual gifts. Paul says, I do not want you to be uninformed when it comes to spiritual gifts. And then he goes on to say, and I want you to understand, he says in verse 3, therefore I want you to understand. Where have we seen that phrase before? I want you to understand. Just glance back at chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So in chapter 11, he's talking about the creation order. I want you to understand the creation order. It's important for the health of this body, he's saying to the Corinthians, and I'm saying to Antioch. It's important for us to understand that and to walk out those things. But he says, now I want you to understand about spiritual gifts, because that's important as well. I want you to understand. I don't want you to be ignorant, because he knows how important spiritual gifts are to the health of the body of Christ. It's important as to how we mature. It plays a critical role. Spiritual gifts play a critical role in the church growth. Growth not just in numbers, although that's part of it, but growth in maturity, growth in being complete in Christ. It plays an essential part in how the church works together. We'll look at a couple of verses about that in a moment. And the effectiveness in the church being called to do what the church is called to do. As again, I've told you many, many times, the church is God's plan A. He has no plan B. He left a handful of disciples here to form the church when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And the church, he said, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. And so we know that spiritual gifts are given in large part because they are necessary for the health of the body of Christ and for the effectiveness of it. What happens when people are uninformed? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these. What happens when people are ignorant about the gifts? And they believe the wrong things about the gifts. Well, you've heard this before. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. And wrong living leads to all manner of chaos. John Stone Street says, you know, good ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have victims. And I think that's true, that bad ideas about spiritual gifts, they're victims. And they're people who have left the church because of bad ideas about spiritual gifts. And churches have been blown apart and divided and destroyed because of bad ideas about spiritual gifts. That's why Paul says, I want you to understand this because I want you to be mature. I don't want you to be weak. I don't want you to have a shallow understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. I want there to be a fully mature understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul even mentions here, you know, when you were pagans, you were led astray to idols who were not able to speak, right? He says you were led astray by mute idols, or two mute idols. And pagan worship services in the first century, I think there's a reference here, and I think there's one of Paul's desires here is to make sure that the church in Corinth did not emulate and imitate the practices that they came out of, the pagan practices of worshiping false gods. And in pagan worship service in the Greco-Roman world in the first century, there was a lot of ecstatic utterances that had no meaning whatsoever. There was a lot of great attention to and almost devotion given to great power in the services and great supernatural displays. And so Paul says, look, I want you to understand, yeah, in the Spirit there's power and there's supernatural displays, but not like that. This is a different Spirit. This is a different power. And so I want you to understand so that you will not be misinformed and therefore immature. We have a different Spirit, and that Spirit is given gifts that we might exalt Christ and build the church. Now what we're going to see in this text in the next few chapters, I have no idea how long it's going to take to get through this. So much in 12, 13, and 14. But we're not going to rush it. But I want you to see, if nothing else today, that the spiritual gifts are not optional extras. And you're not a Christian who says, yeah, I mean, spiritual gifts, that's fine. That's for some people. That's not for me. You know, I grew up in a church that didn't believe in that stuff, and so I don't believe in spiritual gifts. Well, then you're misinformed. And I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to talk about how they're not optional extras. They're necessary to the life and health of the body of Christ, to the members of the body. And we will see that it is not enough to know what the gifts are and why they're given by the Spirit, but how we ourselves, each of us in Christ, have been gifted by the Spirit so that we can help build the church to the glory of God. So let's look at this text today and focus. Our focus will really be on verses 1 through 7 and verse 11. I'm not going to go through that list of verses in 8, 9, and 10. We'll start hitting that, Lord willing, next week. But today, let's look at the text under these three headings. Healthy church, individual gifts, powerful spirit. So first, let's talk about healthy church. Paul introduces the subject of spiritual gifts. You notice two-thirds of the way through this letter, right? He's coming down to the home stretch here in this letter to the church in Corinth. And I think part of the reason he has not really mentioned spiritual gifts at all is because there are other issues that were more important that this church was struggling with. This church is in trouble. Right? A lot of problems. And we talked about one of them last week, social classes being at odds with one another, wealthy misusing and abusing the poor in the church. And so he's finally getting around to spiritual gifts, not because they are not important, but because they were less important, at least in the life of that church at that moment. And maybe their issues weren't as dire. But if you notice, if you've read the book of Romans lately, you might notice, in fact, flip over to Romans chapter 1, to the church in Rome, he gets into the matter of spiritual gifts right off the bat. And of course, he doesn't come back to spiritual gifts until chapter 12. But I want you to see verse 11, where Paul writes this very important instruction. He says, "For Romans 1:11, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." Now that's interesting. Now Paul, I'll put it on the screen there for you to see it again. "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." He's not saying, "I long to see you so I can lay hands on each one of you and so that you can receive a spiritual gift." That's not what that means there. What that means is, Paul says, "I long to see you so that I can use the spiritual gift that God has given me to strengthen you as a church." Now, I bring that verse up there because I think it's important for us to understand why spiritual gifts are given. They're given for the strengthening of the body of Christ. We'll look at a couple of verses to increase this. But right after this verse in 11, verse 12, he says, "That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, yours and mine." In other words, hey, when I come, I'm going to use my spiritual gift, but I'm expecting you're going to use your spiritual gift too. And we're going to encourage one another, and we're going to build each other, we're going to strengthen each other's faith, because that's what spiritual gifts do. So we see the primary purpose, I think, of the spiritual gifts is that the church may be strengthened and the faith of the body may be encouraged. And he says this again back at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 7. He says this in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the" what? "Common good." Everybody say common good. That's what the spiritual gifts are for. They're for the common good. It's not for my good. It's not for me to say, "Yeah, I got this gift and I'm pretty good with it too. Let me tell you. I mean, sometimes I just practice it on myself just to hear myself use this gift. It's amazing how gifted I am." No, that's arrogance, narcissism, and wrong, unbiblical. No, it's for the common good. Paul says, "So I may strengthen you so that I can build you up, that we may be mutually encouraged." Common good. That doesn't mean you don't receive joy from using your gift. Absolutely you should. In fact, that's one of the ways you know that you found your gift, is that you receive great joy in using that gift, and you see that it produces good in the people with whom you use it and for whom you use it. There's a benefit to them. They're blessed, and there's a benefit to you. You're right in the pocket. You know you're doing exactly what God had called you to do when you're using that spiritual gift. It's a great joy. But the purpose, the first purpose of the gifts, is the common good of the body. Let's look at my favorite verse on gifts at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So flip over to 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 10. And I think Peter just... he's not as wordy as Paul. He just sums it up right here very, very succinctly. 1 Peter 4:10. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." There again, we see the emphasis is on the body. The gifts we are given are for others, for the common good, that we may strengthen one another, that we may, as Peter says, serve one another. So really, I know that people do these spiritual gift inventories, and you know, you take a test and you try to see what your gift is, and people agonize about it and sometimes brag about it or you know, whatever. And I don't have anything against the spiritual gift inventories. I haven't seen one in years. That used to be the thing. Now it's Enneagrams, right? Forget spiritual gifts. We just need to know what number we are. Look, I think the question may be better than asking, "What spiritual gift do I have?" I think the best question to ask is, do I have a concern and a desire to strengthen others in the church? That's the fundamental question. Because if you and I have a desire to not just show up on Sunday morning and, you know, sing some songs, take in a sermon, you know, check that box and go home. But if you come to church on Sunday, gather as the church, and during the week we gather as the church in different places, in different homes or whatever, if we gather because we want to strengthen others, if that's your desire, God has a way of showing you how to do that, doesn't he? Right? He can't steer a parked car, but he can show us when we say, Lord, show me how I can strengthen people in the body of Christ. And so that's the question. It's way too easy in our consumer-driven world just to wake up every morning thinking about, okay, how am I going to best be served today? How am I going to be happy today? How am I going to have everything done for me today that I want done for me? And Lord, help my life to be trouble-free today. It's missing the point. I'm rereading Jeff Baldwin's book on worldviews. It's called The Deadliest Monster. And he compares the monster of Frankenstein to the monster of Jekyll and Hyde and makes a point about worldviews. So biblical worldview, and you can have to figure this out for yourself, biblical worldview is Jekyll and Hyde. And the secular worldview and all the other worldviews out there are Frankenstein. All right, so I'm not going to tell you the rest. But in the book, there's a story about this guy named Doug Nichols who was serving as a missionary in India in 1967. And while he was there, he contracted tuberculosis. And this is a picture of a sanitarium from that time. And there are some Indian men sitting on their beds in the sanitarium. Now, though he was living on not much more money than a typical Indian had in 1967, everybody thought Doug was from America, therefore he was rich. Boy, you got very good participation. Kudos. Wow. Yeah, so they thought he was rich, and so they didn't really want to have anything to do with him. He said they didn't know. I was just as broke as they were. And so while he was hospitalized, he unsuccessfully tried to reach other patients for Christ. He offered them tracts. He offered to talk to them about the gospel. He offered them Gospels of John, and nobody was playing. Nobody was interested in that. Well, one night, he was waking himself up coughing, and he realized as he woke up one night coughing from his tuberculosis that a lot of people were coughing, but one man he saw across the aisle from him, maybe the bed across from him, I don't know, was struggling to try to get up and to get out of his bed. And he couldn't. He couldn't get up, and he couldn't get out of his bed, and he struggled, and he tried, and finally he just fell back on his bed, and he cried. And when morning came, he saw the man. When he woke up, he saw the man was still struggling, still trying to get up and get out of his bed, and he couldn't do it. And then not long after that, there was this awful smell that permeated the room, and he realized why the poor man was trying to get up and get out of his bed. And the nurses came in. When they discovered this mess, they got angry. One of them slapped the man in the face and called him names. And the man, ashamed, curled up in a ball and cried. Well, that night, Doug was awakened again in the middle of the night by the coughing. And again, he looked across the aisle, and there was the man trying his best to get up. So Doug got up. And he went over and he picked the man up. He was scrawny and weighed nothing. And he carried him to the restroom. And when he was finished, he put him back in bed. When Doug woke up the next morning, he was awakened to another man standing next to him, another patient who spoke no English, who had a cup of tea for him. And after he served him tea, he made motions with his hands indicating that he wanted some of Doug's materials. Well, that day, doctors and nurses and patients all came to Doug. They'd heard the story, and they came to Doug. They said, we want what you have. Over the next few days, he said, several told me they trusted Christ as Savior as a result of reading the good news. Now, what's the point of that story? The point of that story is that Doug saw a way that he could strengthen someone. This wasn't a believer, but he could help someone. He could serve someone with a very simple gift of helps, right? If you pick somebody up and you help them do something that they couldn't do otherwise, then that's using a spiritual gift of helps. He didn't preach to him. He didn't sing to him. He didn't exhort him. He didn't speak in tongues to him. None of those is what that man needed at that time. He needed a gift of mercy, a gift of helps, and that's what Doug did. And as a result, there was new life in the kingdom, new believers. God will allow us, if we ask Him to strengthen someone in their faith or to serve an unbeliever for the glory of God. When we ask that prayer, God's quick to answer it. And when that happens, people grow up. I like this verse in Ephesians 4. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, and I've emphasized part of it myself, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, we'll get into this a little bit more later in the chapter where Paul talks about, you know, we can't all be eyeballs or ears or feet. That's a weird looking body. The body parts are different and they're needed and they're necessary. There's no, extraneous body part in the body of Christ. And when each part, that's the key here, folks, each part is working properly, using the gifts that God has given him or her, the body grows up. Body builds itself up in love. It's a wonderful thing to see, and we've seen it here over 32 years. That brings us to the second point, and that is individual gifts. Now, Paul's going to give a descriptive, not an exhaustive, list of different gifts in this chapter and the ones to come. And the reason I say it's descriptive is because he lists some gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and other gifts in Ephesians, 1 Peter 4 and other gifts in Ephesians 4 and other gifts in Romans 12. And the lists are not the same. And I think there's a description here of the spiritual gifts, not a prescription for which ones are gifts and which ones are not, or whatever. I think there's many gifts. And we know that the church in Corinth had all the gifts in abundance. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says to him, he says, you excel in everything. Oh, except for this, in giving. You know, let's work on your giving. You're not very good at giving, Corinth. You got all these other gifts. You're ripe with them. But let's work on that one. So what does that tell us? If we have many gifts in the church, Corinth did, and they were not grown up yet. 1 Corinthians, early in the chapter, or early in the book, he says, you're acting like babies. You're acting like you're immature. What does that tell us about spiritual gifts? The more gifts you have, the more mature you are, right? That would be no. Spiritual gifts are not the sign of maturity. Spiritual gifts are not the sign of maturity. In fact, sometimes the church, this is some of that misinformation, we believe that those who have the most powerful gifts, and we'll talk about the power gifts later, but those who have the power gifts, they must be the ones that are the most mature. No, that's certainly not the case. They may be mature, but having that gift is not an indication that they are mature. In fact, I think that was happening in Corinth. I think they were equating maturity or with power, and I think they were elevating one or two gifts over other gifts, and so Paul is going to address that in future verses. No, I think what we need to see is that there's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know this is elementary teaching for most of you, but it's a good reminder for you, for whom you already that you already know, but it's also maybe new information for some of you who don't know this. Right? The Spirit gives fruits to us. He doesn't give them to us. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the Spirit gives gifts to us. We grow fruit. We're given gifts. All right? What's the difference between them? It's often been said that then the fruit of the Spirit is what marks our maturity because these grow as we walk in obedience to Christ. You know the list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. I always get them out of order. So let me just turn to Galatians 5 and read them to you. Galatians 5:22, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's always been remarked that Paul doesn't say are, because there's a bunch of them there. He says is because love is the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what love looks like when it puts on its shoes and goes out to work every day. Well, it looks like joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We aren't given those fruits upon conversion. They grow over time. Now, who had the fruit of the Spirit perfectly? Who has it? Christ, which means that if we are the body of Christ, the body of Christ also has the fruit of the Spirit, right? In this body, there is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. All those things are present in the body. But in each one of us, God is continuing to grow us in these areas. If I had everybody stand up and say, you know, this is the fruit of the Spirit I struggle with the most. This is where I'm the most immature when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody in here, if you're honest, would have an answer to that. Some of you would say patience. Some of you would say self-control. Some of you would say joy. You know, you're kind of an Eeyore Christian. Sounds like fun. Not that I'm having any. And so the point is that they grow over time. We're learning day by day, as Paul says here. We're being conformed to his image. We're learning day by day to lay down our passions and desires and to look more like Jesus by taking up his desires. Now, if you think your gift is teaching, here's a test, guys. If you think your gift is teaching, you come home from work, or your wife come home, maybe wives, maybe this is your gift, and you come home from work, okay? Let's not be discriminatory here, whatever. One of you comes home from work who has a gift of teaching. Does your spouse want to hear you come home and just teach them something? Just use your gift to teach me something, baby. That's what I want to hear. Or do they want to see some gentleness and some kindness and some self-control? How many vote for the latter? Okay, some of you want to be taught, apparently, so men, have at it, okay? All right, let's get to the spiritual gifts then. Where do they come from? Let's look back at the text, verses 4 through 6. Varieties of gifts, same Spirit, varieties of service, same Lord, varieties of activities, same God. You see the Trinity there. Spirit, Lord is usually used to reference Jesus and God, God the Father. Where do they come from? Where do the gifts come from? Everybody said God. Okay, we can call all three of these God because all three of them are God. When do we receive the Spirit and his gifts? This is important. We need to understand this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. If you want to flip over there, you can. I'll read it to you. Ephesians 1, 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? Everybody said, upon conversion. Upon conversion. So when did you receive a gift of the Spirit? At least one. Upon conversion. When the Spirit came in, he brought gifts. He came bearing gifts. Now, you might not have known that gift that day. You probably didn't. Most people don't know their spiritual gift when they're first born again. But if you've been born again for 20 years and you still don't know, there's a problem. That's why Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to understand this so that you can be using the gift that God gave you, because the body of Christ needs it. So the gifts come from God. They come with the Holy Spirit. Who gets a gift? Look at verse 7 again. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:10 says the same thing. As each has received a gift. All right, so the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. You receive the gifts upon conversion. You are given a gift because you were born again. There's nobody left out. Some of you like Babylon Bee, the satire. I saw this headline this week. Local man with no detectable spiritual gifts assigned to parking lot ministry. Now, first of all, that's kind of cold, right? Because, first of all, if he's a believer, he might not have a detectable gift on one of those inventories, but that's why those inventories sometimes are not worth the paper they're written on. He has a spiritual gift, right? Secondly, if you help park cars in a large church, which we don't need help doing that here, but if you park cars in a large church or help people, direct people, what gift are you using? Service, the gift of service, or some people say helps. You're helping people. You carry a guy to the bathroom, that's the gift of helps. You're helping someone. So there's lots of different ways that we can serve the body of Christ. If you're looking for a church that has a parking lot ministry, I can suggest one to you. But if you have the gift of helps, if you have the gift of helps, and you notice we don't need help. Actually, we do need help with our parking lot, but that's another story I don't want to get into. It's too painful. I have parking lot envy as I'm driving down the road and I see these churches with nice parking lot. Okay, let's move on. As we look at these gifts, as we work through these gifts in this chapter, again, I want you to see that they're descriptive, they're not exhaustive, but I want you to see that there are two basic types of spiritual gifts. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, and after verse 10, he says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So I think you could make an argument that the two categories of spiritual gifts are speaking gifts and serving gifts. Some of you are greatly relieved because you don't want that spiritual gift where you have to speak to people. And others are greatly relieved because you don't want to serve people by carrying some guy to the bathroom. No, we should all be ready to use a gift of helps or service or ministry at any time. So it's not like I can't, you know, sweep the front porch before you get here on Sunday morning, as I often do, because I'm called to preach. No, we will use what God has given us to serve the body of Christ. But there are many gifted, and I want you to notice this, that the speaker and the server serve or speak by whose strength? By God's strength. Do you know people who are not saved who are great communicators, powerful orators? We all do, right? Do you know people who are great organizers? Maybe in your business, Tim, there's somebody at LabCorp who is an amazing administrator, doesn't know the Holy Spirit from his elbow, doesn't know the Lord, but wow, can that dude administrate, or that lady. We all know people like that, right? So here's the difference. This is not a talent or an ability that you have naturally. Now, God may take a natural ability and he may infuse that ability with the Spirit of God so that you use your natural ability now with a different purpose and under a different spirit with a different result, right? But we need to understand that those who have the gifts of the Spirit are using those gifts by faith. They're relying on their faith, the faith in the Holy Spirit, to empower them to use their gift in a way that ministers to others. That's why Paul says someone can't say the words Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. A parrot can say those words. You understand he's not saying that woodenly. Don't interpret that woodenly. But he's saying the Spirit of God resonant in a man or a woman, then he will proclaim with his lips and with his life that Jesus is Lord. Someone who does not have the Spirit, he can say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is Lord, sure, whatever, man. But he's not been empowered by the Spirit. He can't say those words and live those words because he doesn't know the one who died for him. So why do we use our gifts ultimately? Again, at the end of that passage, Peter writes, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Okay, last point. Let's talk about the powerful Spirit. I'll explain this picture in a minute. After Paul mentions a partial list of various spiritual gifts, which we'll get to, he says in verse 11, look at verse 11, very important verse here. All these gifts he just mentioned, and more, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, all of that is important. First of all, empowered. Again, your gifts are empowered by the Spirit. How could you say, I don't have time for spiritual gifts, man. I got a life to live. No, how could you say that when the Holy Spirit, who is resident in you, has offered gifts, given you gifts that he wants you to use for the glory of God, empowered by the Spirit. Who knows but that God can use you to bring somebody into the kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you when you open your mouth in Aldi and you say something to that lady in the line in front of you. Or you help somebody at Aldi carry, take their groceries out of the cart and put them in their car. And they ask you, why are you doing this? And you get an opportunity to say, because of Jesus. Can I tell you about him? Then he says, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Individually. God gives gifts individually upon conversion to every believer. As he wills. What does that mean? Whose choice is it? Which gift you got? It's his choice. And he always does what is good and right and perfect. And so, we receive his gift gladly. He chooses to give us, and we want to use them for his glory. The point is, no one has all the gifts. No one is neglected, and each one has a necessary gift. As we get to these gifts, you'll see, and we talk about the body of Christ, later in the chapter, you'll see how all of these are necessary. Each of these is necessary, and they all work together for the kingdom. Now, you guys know enough about football to know that the guy standing up there is called the what? Quarterback. The guy he's got his hands underneath there, who's got the ball in his hands, is called the center. Now, let's say everybody wants to be the quarterback. And so the 11 guys on the offensive side of the ball all run out of the field and all line up as a quarterback. So you get this vertical line that's going down the field. You know, they're all just standing there like this. You're trying to put their hands under somebody who's not there. You got 11 quarterbacks. What have you got as a football team? You got a disaster. You got a loser. They're not going to win. You say, okay, maybe they all want to be the center. So they all run out there, and they all, there's a scrum there at the ball, right? They're fighting each other, trying to get to the ball so somebody can bend over and hold that ball and hike it. But once the guy, the biggest and baddest of all of them, gets the ball, who's he hiking it to? Nobody, because there's no quarterback. And even if there were, where's the running back that the quarterback can hand the ball to? Where's the wide receiver running down the field that he can throw the post route to? They're not there, folks. You see the point? We all have a necessary gift. And if there's that left tackle's not there, the quarterback's going to get what? Crushed, right? If that whole line is not there, the quarterback has no hope. So, it's important that we understand, first of all, that the church that moves the ball for Christ, if you will, that scores touchdowns for the glory of God, is the church that works together, is the church where each part is equipped and each part is playing the part that God has given it to play. The Holy Spirit gives generously to each. And therefore, the church has all of the gifts of the Spirit resident in them, and we are called to play a part in using those gifts for the glory of God. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So what's your homework? Well, part of your homework is not to go take one of those Holy Spirit inventory tests, spiritual gifts inventory tests. If you want to do that, that's fine, but I don't think it's necessary. I think our homework is to say, Lord, would you help me to strengthen the body of Christ? Lord, would you show me how I can best do that? Would you show me how you've gifted me in the Spirit to serve in this body? And then listen to what he says. And then go to work using your gift for his glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the multifaceted grace of the Holy Spirit that's poured out upon us, Lord, in this body and the gifts of the Spirit that are here. And I look out across the congregation, I see many who have strong gift of mercy and others that have a strong gift of exhorting and encouraging and others that have a strong gift of helping and serving and others that have a strong gift of teaching. And others who have a strong gift of administration or leading, and on and on. And we're thankful, Lord, for the for the body of Christ, and we're thankful for the Holy Spirit who has gifted each one of us. I pray for the young people in here, maybe it's the first time they've heard some of this teaching, that they too would not say, I'm too young to have a gift. They're not. We're thankful that you're not a respecter of persons or of ages or races or genders, that you see each person who's in Christ as a player on the team who has a part to play, who has an assignment to execute, so that there might be victories in the Spirit. So we pray that you would bless us and encourage us and teach us, Lord, and help us to move forward in these things with greater understanding. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.